transition to our Vineland II study. And we're on the page 146. This one here. There we go. All right. And this time, we cannot, I was looking over again, and I cannot go more than one paragraph. Usually I'm reading two or three paragraphs, but this one is everyone, every single paragraph is its own connected with other ones, and I thought it would be better if we'll go just one by one. So,
Oh, it's right here.
Ellie, right
here. Thank you.
We have three right here.
I'm sorry, I thought
something. Yeah, we're looking for Vineland 2, page 146. Yeah. Okay, who is ready to read the paragraph? Sister Sharon Feifield, I like your zeal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brother Igor.
Well, we're going to read only one paragraph, okay?
Okay, just the short one, huh? No, the aspect of affairs in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's not really short, so.
I know, I was being silly.
Okay. Yeah.
The aspects of affairs in the world for the past 15 years very strikingly corresponds with this symbol. In the outbursts of the worldwide encouragement for all men to wake up to a sense of their rights and privileges as men and to consider their mutual relationships, the principles upon which they are based, and the ends which they should accomplish. Where on the face of the earth is the civilized nation that has not heard the shout and is not influenced by it? The entire civilized world has, in the past few years, been studying political economy, civil rights, and social liberties as never before in the annals of history. And men are encouraging each other and being encouraged as never before to probe these subjects to the very foundation. The shout of encouragement started by the increase of knowledge among men has already encircled the earth, and under its influence, men are banding themselves together, encouraged and assisted by men of brain and genius to contend and strive for both real and fancied rights and liberties. And as their organizations increase and multiply, the shout grows louder and longer and will by and by result as foretold in the great time of trouble and tumult of angry nations. This result is graphically described by the prophet. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, kingdoms, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the host of battle. Isaiah 13:4.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sister Sharon. I'm not sure if you want to share with us probably a question or an idea what you just read. Usually, I like to hear the person that is reading to say something.
Okay, I'll try.
Please.
Well, one thing that captured my attention was the fact of how much it sounds like today. And this book was written somewhere in the late 1800s, early 19. And yet it's still talking about civil rights and social liberties and stuff, which is always big and big for us now. And talking about how people are banding together of brains and geniuses to strive for the real and the fancied rights and liberties of different organizations. and they increase and multiply with these thoughts, because everything is getting more prominent. And we know that we're in the great time of trouble. And they talk about angry nations. There are lots of angry nations. People in those nations are crying for justice and for peace and the lack of war. So, you know, the Lord is listening, and he is going to end it with a great shout. And we'll all, if we're not already in heaven, we'll see it. Thank you.
That's very good, Sister Sharon. You said pretty much what I was thinking to ask. Probably I will go with the next question then, because I do not see many hands. We're just starting here. Okay, Brother Bill. Oh, Sister Sharon. Oh, okay. So who is first? Yes, please. Oh, he's not.
That's why I asked, could you hear me okay?
Now it's better.
Okay. On page 145, first paragraph, what he's doing is he's showing that these are symbols, because the other scriptures that we had were that he would come, the Lord would come as a thief and in quietness and without observation. So he's taking these scriptures to show that these are symbols. They're not literal shouts, because if he comes as a thief and he's quiet, nobody knows, then what do you do with the shout, the trump, and the voice? So he's going into these three, shout, trump, and voice, voice of an archangel and trump. And he is taking these to show that they are symbols. And the symbols of a shout are the two paragraphs, the second one we read. The symbols of a voice is 147, page 147, verses, paragraphs 1 and 2. And then the symbol of a trump is the third paragraph on 147 and 148. And it ends on 149, and it goes into details. But that's why we're going into these paragraphs. And that's why the explanation of a shout is not a literal, ho, 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 but it is waking up to the rights of man and their liberties and their civil rights, and starting with the increase of knowledge. And these become louder and louder, meaning that they're more forceful. And we see this every day. I get from the computer on ADL the voices on the campuses of universities of their resistance. So we find this in our newsletters, in our reports every day. There are people shouting against what they see, and they're very upset. Over.
Thank you, Sister Alice. Brother Bill, second, and then Sister Margaret, and two more hands. Brother Bill?
Well, Brother Igor, I was thinking of when Brother Russell wrote this volume, it wasn't long after that that there were a lot of movements. There were, you know, there was the suffrage, the women's suffrage, to have the right to vote, to have a right to have a voice, and what, how things would transpire, how the government would operate and so forth. And then the civil rights and the, African Americans that were, downtrodden during the, prior to the Civil War and so forth. And then they, it took years after that, after the beginning of the 20th century, before the they even had any civil rights. And so we see all these things, as Sister Alice mentioned, just escalating. Every year they're escalating and more clamoring for what's fair, what liberties are offered to me, and I want to claim them. That's what we see. We see, as was brought out, there's a lot of organizations that are assembling together, and as Sister Alice brought out, and the protests and so forth. Why aren't we being heard?
Not hearing you, Brother Igor.
Well, you're the next one. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't recall whether we had this in our previous study, but several times in the paragraph we're on now, it's the word encouragement. And in the previous paragraph, it says charisma signifies a shout of encouragement. Well, in Strong's, it only says a cry of incitement, which we understand too is appropriate. But to me, it's significant that in Young's concordance, it only says shout of encouragement. So that's where we can get that thought if we want to have a backup for the word encouragement. Thank you.
Not sure if I really understood what Sister Margaret said, but I have a question for you, Sister Margaret. How is connected the shot and with the increase of knowledge?
Well, the fact that mankind is recognizing what it's an incitement to them, as Sister Sharon mentioned, all that's going on. I mean, the cries of liberty, just so many things with the increase of knowledge. So it's very much connected in my mind.
Yes.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, that's a little bit much clearer now. Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you. We'll go with the next hands here. Thank you, Sister Margaret. We have Sister Ellie first and then Sister Chris.
Along the same...
It's on.
Okay, along the same line... I like that sentence in the previous paragraph that defines the shout is generally designed either to alarm or terrify or to assist and encourage, because the basic meaning is a shout of encouragement, but it has an effect, perhaps on two different groups. And one of the definitions I think is a shout of a leader to those he commands. And it's not always a positive thing, as we can see. And it can have two effects. This effect can encourage, but I think with the world, and as the paragraph defines, this is the shout is the gathering of the nations to Armageddon. We know that Armageddon has already started, not the final conflict, but so, and with the saints, it would mean a totally different thing. And I'd also reference Psalm 149. I'll just read a couple of verses. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. This is the side of the veil. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, dishonor of all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. And that's this side of the veil, the saints have the privilege of giving the message to the world in whichever form it would take. And it encouraged them that Armageddon has started, and why these things are meaning, what's happening, what's the purpose of these events that are taking place in the world, and placing them in their proper order, and that also what lies beyond this.
Thank you, Sister Ellie. We'll go next to Sister Chris, and then we have four more hands.
I was looking at the paragraph and thinking about all the troubles that the world is experiencing and the real and imagined rights. And so I had a number of scriptures. If you don't mind, I'm going to cite them. I won't read them. 2 Corinthians 10:5, God is going to destroy the wicked. That's 2 Corinthians 10:5. Acts 17:29, it's God's plan to take care of the problems. The humans in Romans 1:21, the human speculation is going to be eliminated. That's Romans 1:21. Proverbs 16:8, the heart devises wickedness and the Lord will take care of that. And we need to encourage the world and especially our brethren. And so I had found Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. And one of the things that I do when I hand out the blessings tract is that I cite that one. And then also Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, constant in prayer. Because from Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Calling on the Lord, our strong tower, is our salvation. And I had a huge one, but the one that it really inspired me last night was Isaiah 26:4. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. It's not just a rock, but it's an everlasting rock that will abide forever.
Thank you, Sister Chris, for all the verses. Probably we will read them later. Next one, we're going to Sister Arlene and then Brother Walter, Brother John, and Brother Tim.
Well, the period of time that Brother Russell is talking about, I believe the second volume was written in 1874, the Lord returned. And when the Lord returned, he brought an increase of knowledge. And with this increase of knowledge, people were inventing things and people were, because of work in the cities, people were leaving the country, and America was becoming more urbanized. Of course, that caused problems. They may have been poor in the country, but here they are poor in the cities also. And labor unions were starting, so that's part of the shout. As far as people clamoring for their rights, and they realized it wasn't fair that these huge companies weren't being fair to their employees. And then, like I said, the living in the city and living in poverty caused a lot of problems. So a lot of people became aware, such as Jane Addams. They formed settlement houses to help new immigrants who mainly came to the cities. So people were becoming aware of social problems because of the increase of knowledge and the urbanization of the cities all over the world.
Sir Lynn, I'm sorry, with my microphone here, I was speaking. Brother Walter, please.
Brother John's hand was up before I raised mine, if we want to do it democratically here.
Well, you can go ahead now, and then we'll go with after well, with Brother John.
Okay, just a couple of texts. Psalms 97, verses 4 and 8, the different effect that this shout has. 97:4, his lightnings enlightened the world. The earth saw and trembled. And the 8th verse, Zion heard and was glad. So depending on who the audience is, has vastly different effects. And I was thinking of that during the Exodus, Exodus 14, verses 19 and 20. the Israelites were following the cloud and pillar of fire. And I'll just read verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of and darkness to them, the Egyptians, but it gave light, gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. So it's amazing how one message can have such a different effect. And indeed, the like the phrase in the paragraph, some it inspires fear and trembling, others it raises real and fancied rights. There's a lot of claims out there in the world. Some make a lot of sense and some are just very off kilter and causing more trouble instead of enlightenment. Over.
Thank you, Brother Walter. If I'm looking at this correctly with my calculations here, it's been like more than 150 years this shout is going and goes louder and louder. Right? So it's interesting. Let's go with Brother John first. Oh, Sister Pam. Yeah, your microphone.
Okay, I think I'm going ahead of Brother John here too. I was just thinking about how Brother Russell had written this, as I think Sister Arlene, was it Arlene, mentioned in the 1880s, and how at this particular time he started to see the little forces that were happening. And I was thinking of a book that I read. It was called A Man from St. Petersburg, and this was an anarchist. It was about an anarchist, and it was in the early 1900s, and how the theory of anarchism, or whatever, anarchy, I guess, was kind of promoted at that time. And then also we had the communism that had come on just, you know, with the Russian Revolution. And wasn't Russian Revolution, communistic revolution. And we saw all those things happen then. And so how Brother Russell had seen these things even before they had happened and how they have increased now. And so I'm just thinking that this shout, as Sister Margaret was saying, you know, it is not only a shout of encouragement, but also of incitement. And I think we've reached the point now where it's a shout more of confusion and incitement, where people are being basically incited to do something about it, or violence or whatever it is that they want with their rights. And I think, for instance, a lot of the protests, they're organized protests. They're not necessarily, in fact, as somebody was talking about it, who basically there are hired people that actually go around to help form this. So it's all working, I think, even further into this shout and this time of trouble that we certainly see. So I certainly think that this shout, as was brought out in the scripture, is certainly being fulfilled today more and more. And leading into the time of trouble, which is getting to be, I think, close to a breaking point. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Pam. And we're going to Brother Tim next. That's okay. I want to share something over here till I'm going to Brother Brad, because I want him to read the Isaiah 13:4. Brother Brad, I would like you to have read Isaiah 13:4. I saw him. But before that, we have Brother John. Thank you, Brother Tim. Let's see what Brother John is thinking.
Thank you, Brother Igor. And this scripture, 1 Corinthians 4:16-17, what the paragraphs are describing and going through. Just so interesting, especially in the 16th, where it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we know from Bible chronology in volume 2 that we're studying that this happened in 1878. And so it gives us the definite timeline. And of course, the voice, the shout, the trump, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then the next verse, it explains, they that which are alive shall be caught up together with them in clouds. And of course, we know this is symbolical, but the churches love their rapture. And the only thing I can think of there is the bumper sticker we see on a lot of the cars. And it says, if this car is driverless, I have been caught up in the rapture. Well, with the new Tesla cars, they are driverless. And so we see a lot of these cars without somebody actually behind the wheel. So I just thought that was interesting. But this is a wonderful two scriptures. And, you know, the real and fancy rites they talk about. Sister Pam and I saw two large examples of that last night. We're coming home from the spaghetti factory on the Willamette River. And as we get to the intersection there, on one side, there's a homeless camp completely blocking the sidewalk, and you feel sorry for these people. But it's just kind of interesting that this has only happened in the last 20 or 30 years, where you've got Vancouver, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, LA, all the West Coast cities having these homeless camps and tents, because the climate's a little nicer, I guess, than some of the rest of the country. And the governments are having to deal with it. And they feel, hey, we should be put up in a hotel or provide us some low-cost housing, which the cities are trying to do. But it's something that we've just seen in the last 20, 30 years. But it's the real and fancied rights that people want. Then as we get to the intersection, all of a sudden, there's 30, 40 people there with flags and protests, Palestinian flags, and so on. And here they're protesting basically against Israel. And it's just so sad to see, but we know it's a sign of the times. And the Lord will straighten these things out eventually. But the fact you go out for dinner and as you're coming home, you actually see these things with your very own eyes in front of you, makes you realize how long we long for the kingdom, and we hope for the full establishment very quickly. But I just thought that was so pertinent with this paragraph you read about the real and fancied rights of the people in this day and age. Over.
Thank you, Brother John. Before we go to Brother Brett, I would like to ask Sister Marilyn to read the paragraph that I posted here. I put it here on chat, on Zoom. I hope you can open that, Sister Marilyn. And then we'll go to Brother Brett, and he will explain us a little bit more about Isaiah 13:4. Can you see that, Sister Marilyn? But the microphone is close.
Is it?
But let no one conclude.
Would it be at the top or the bottom?
Well, it's pretty much, someone posted two more here. Let me see here. Do you see the message? Someone is seeing the message? It's in the chat.
I see stuff from.
I don't see it in the chat. Was it a private chat?
No, it's not.
I don't see it. I don't know if anybody else sees it.
Okay. Let's go then to Brother Brad, and I will work on it.
Okay, Brother Igor, you wanted Isaiah 13, verse 4?
Yeah, because, Brother Brad, thanks for asking. Yes, the idea why I want you to read this is because actually what we just had this discussion here is about this shot and how this is growing larger and larger. And the results of this is actually the Isaiah 13:4. And I want you to read this and share what's your thought about this, how this is actually happening.
Okay, maybe I'll read also verse 6, maybe 6 through 8 as well. So Isaiah 13:4, it says, "The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle." And verse 6, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, and they shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flames." Well, I think a number of good comments have already been made about, you know, the today's society, but I think I've read over maybe the most recent few years that we read about there's more people taking medications now than, you know, it's like a really high percentage. People are taking anti-anxiety medications. And well, they only do that, I guess, if there's a lot of anxiety. But it's saying here that the Lord is gathering this. It's really a result, I suppose, of just what we're talking about. This trumpet, the shout of people clamoring for their rights and what they think they should have, and against the injustices that they see in the world. But it's a destruction that comes from the Lord. And I think it's really comes down to a culmination of all of the efforts that society has put forward to try and manage their own affairs. And what we find out, that whether it's democracy, whether it's monarchy, communism, socialism, any of the things that men have conjured up, none of them work. So it's coming to a kind of a crescendo, which is eventually, I think, brings down the system, and probably not too far off. We just see it all kind of pulling together right now. Thank you, Brother Igor. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brother Brad. I'm not sure what's happening with my side here with the windows here. I cannot open clearly, but idea was that what we have here, sister, said that this is not happening for real, is just the symbols, and the people has to hear this somehow or understand partial. They don't have the spirit as we as we seeing and understanding this. So I think that's what I was thinking to say, but it's so larger here and described nicely.
Just to mention, if there's something you want read, you could email it to me or to Brother Bill, and we could post it on our end in the chat.
Yeah, I just have too many tools here, and I think I kind of mix them together. I can feel now, Brother Walter, sometimes how he is saying this. So when you're mixing too many tools, that's what's happening. Okay, I think we're okay with this paragraph, brethren. Are we okay to move to the voice now? Sister Linda?
Oh, dig it. Microphone. Sorry. It's open.
When I read this paragraph, it reminded me of something I read in the fourth volume. And in the fourth volume, and I had it when I was a JW, somebody gave it to me. It said, Pastor Russell made a list of these trust companies, and they were big trust companies owned by one individual family. And he said that was dangerous for the human family. And I really didn't understand that until I saw a show called The Corporation. And in the early 1800s, the corporations sued for individual rights because they represented a group of shareholders. So the corporations got the rights of individual people. And what happened was the corporations grew bigger and bigger and bigger and Brother Russell compared them to the giants, pre-flood giants that were gobbling everything up. And this is what's happening today. The corporations are gobbling everything in society up. There's just a few of them, and they own everything, and they are very destructive to the human family. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Linda. I think we will move to the next two paragraphs. That's part of the voice of the Archangel. And we need two readers. So let's go with Sister Marilyn first to read the little paragraph, the smaller one, and then probably Sister Robin will go with the next one.
Okay. The voice of the Archangel is another striking symbol of similar import. The name Archangel signifies chief messenger, and our anointed Lord himself is Jehovah's chief messenger, the messenger of the covenant. Daniel refers to the same personage calling him Michael, which name signifies who as God, an appointed name of him who is the express image of the Father's person and the representative of his authority and power. The voice of the archangel represents Christ's authority and command. This symbol then represents Christ as taking control or beginning his reign and issuing his commands, his official orders, announcing the change of dispensation by the enforcement of the laws of his kingdom.
The same thought is differently expressed by Daniel when he says, "Then shall Michael the great prince stand up." To stand up signifies to assume authority to give commands. See Ariseth, Isaiah 2:19-21. Another illustration of this symbol is from David, who says of Christ prophetically, "He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The great time of trouble will be precipitated, and the earth organized society will melt or disintegrate under the change of administration, going into effect when the new king utters the voice at command. At his command, systems of error, civil, social, and religious must go down, however old or firmly entrenched and fortified they may be. The sword out of his mouth shall cause the havoc. The truth on every subject and in all its varied aspects shall judge men, and under his power and overruling shall cause the overturning of evil and error in all of their thousand forms."
Thank you very much. Before I will ask you to say something, sisters, because I will ask you, I really like how it's saying here, messenger of the covenant, which I understand messenger of the new covenant. So I really like how is described here. So yeah, let's go to Sister Merlin and see if Sister Merlin has a point or something to say to the voice.
Yeah, I think it was just bringing out that it is Christ who is the representative of all the authority and power through God, through him, that will bring about this downfall. It's his voice, his authority through him, God through Christ. That's it.
Very, very interesting. And it says it's to express image of the Father's person. That's very, I don't know, powerful, right? Okay. Any other hands?
Oh, I thought I was going to have a comment.
Oh, please.
Sorry. All right. So, what I thought this was really interesting, it says at his command.
Yeah.
And then it says the truth on every subject. This sort of reminds me of our convention.
Yeah.
The sword of the spirit, the belt of truth, the judgment, you know, and I'm going, whoa. But what was interesting is at his command, systems of error, you know, must go down. And yet it's, they're going to pull each other down. I believe that's what we were reading in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. That it, the tumult, the multitudes are actually tearing things down. That's all. Over.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Robin. Brother Jerry?
Brother Igor, there are two voices that are mentioned in these verses. For instance, the voice of the archangel in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says it's the voice of the archangel. And also in Psalms 46, verse 6, which is cited, which is quoted but not cited, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. So particularly in this Psalms 46, he uttered his voice. Our Lord is the trumpeting voice. The other voices are the heathen raged. It's the reaction to the voice that others were mentioning about real and fancied rights. The voice of the archangel says that it's a new administration. It's exposing the falseness of the false churches, the exploitation of the financiers and corporations that were mentioned. All these things are being exposed. That's one voice. The other voice is the reaction. Let's take stronger control. Let's bigger institutions and so forth. So the heathen rage, but it is all because our Lord has returned, which is the theme of this chapter. The manner of the second advent is that he comes with a new voice of justice, righteousness, peace, health, and the old institutions are reacting as they melt. Over.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. One more hand. Sister Pam, please. And then Sister Sharon. It's still not open.
Okay. There we go. I was going to say that it's the voice of the archangel, which we know the Lord, it's his truth and his demand for, I guess, for the revealment of his righteous laws, which will become more and more evident as perhaps time goes by. And yet my thought was that there are also scriptures that indicate that he would use the worst of the heathen to bring about his work. And so we also see evil today, the reaction of the world, the reaction of the heathen. And so I'm having a little harder time in seeing exactly how that works out. With the voice of the archangel, I would think would be only right things, whereas perhaps it's the effect on the others that we actually see, that we see that the Lord is bringing down the systems, but he's also using the evil forces in many cases. He's confusing the people. Nobody knows really what is right anymore if they aren't using the word of the Lord. So it's sort of a comment and sort of a question of how we would harmonize the voice of the archangel with what he actually uses to bring down his system. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have one more hand from Sister Ellen, please.
Along the same line, it's sort of, I guess it's in the form of a question. Could we extend this to say the voice, part of the voice of the archangel is also Brother Russell, who is voicing the commands of Christ? Because Brother, he couldn't say a paragraph like this. And it says, official orders announcing the change of dispensation by the enforcement of the laws of the kingdom, but perhaps that could be another symbol involved?
Well, short answer, it'll be yes, but let's see what Brother Walter is saying.
Sister Pam's comment reminded me of the language of Joel 2:3. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The Lord puts out the truth, the right, and the justice, but man's reaction due to the fallen flesh and Satan trying to throw a wrench in the gears, the result is the tearing down of the present order, and even though the people see the principles of right and justice, trying to implement them with the imperfect society, they have the results of the destruction of the present order and the looking at the Garden of Eden the way things should be. Over.
Thank you, Brother Walter. And Sister Margaret.
I wanted to particularly pick up on the scriptural expression, five lines up from the bottom of the second paragraph. I'll read from, the sword out of his mouth shall cause the havoc, the truth of every subject. Well, actually, it's the sword out of his mouth shall cause the havoc. And I felt that that related to Revelation 19, verse 15. And Revelation 19 is where there's still great company on the scene, and they recognize that the marriage of the Lamb has taken place. So the little flock's off the scene and with the Lord. And verse 15 says, I'll read 14. The armies which were in heaven followed upon white horses clothed in fine linen. And then 15, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So there's very good comments on that in the expanded comments, and that end part, treading the winepress of the fierceness, being the end of the final of the harvest period. So we're talking, it's very much talking about the truth going out and this time that we're speaking of with the shout. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Margaret. Well, brethren, we're really close to our end of the meeting here. Was a lot of discussion and good points. Oh, one more hand we have. Brother Jim or Sister Stephanie?
Just a short comment on what Sister Pam was saying. I'm not sure I understood exactly her question, but so many of the scriptures about the trouble and the voice of the archangel and God's influence, or the influence of Christ since his return. It all makes sense. And we read about it, especially in volume four. There's so many things that the pastor saw happening that were exactly what the scriptures were saying would happen. But I have had this thought in the back of my mind in the last few years, possibly what Sister Pam was talking about, the evil and the error seem to have even more power than ever before in the last few years. The evil influences and the people, like the corporations, getting bigger and bigger and bigger and having so much power, at the time when we thought they were going to be, they would be being destroyed. I mean, I can see how it's all going to come to a head, but I have had just wondered about that. I'm not doubting any scriptures or anything the pastor's written, but it does seem like perhaps it's the fallen angels right at the end here where we are now. Over.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Brother Walter, I see your hand.
Just one quick scripture to kind of keep us in the right direction. Isaiah 14:7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. So weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Over.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Walter. I think, Sister Marilyn, you can read it now. What was happening, brethren, is that I think the paragraph was a little bit larger, and when I put past, didn't go through because it's too many words. So I kind of shorter right now a little bit and go through.
Okay. But let no one conclude, because these various descriptions are not literal, but symbolic, that they may therefore represent merely a battle of words, a quaking of fear, or a trivial storm of human passions. For the controversy, the words of passion and argument will be and are among the weapons used in this battle, especially in the beginning of it. Yet it will not end with these. Every prophetic detail indicates that before it ends, it will be a most singularity conflict, a fierce and terrible storm.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Marilyn. And as first paragraph was saying here, this symbols are representing that actually the Christ is taking the control, which we're feeling and understanding and seeing this, how it's happening. And we can hear the voice, how is actually, how the sound goes like. So, brethren, I think we were going to stop here for now, because our time passed so fast here. And I really appreciate your hands, what's up, and comments. And we're on the page 147 left. 147 left. And next time it's about, you said three, right? You said the shout. You said the voice. And what was the third one? The trumpet. So next time we're on the trumpet. Okay.